They're sold as our personal way of saving the planet.
We're building them to make a difference.
But the truth of electric vehicles makes a mockery of their sales pitch.
To protect our children's future.
Environmental devastation.
Our workers are dying for electric cars.
While back home, an Aussie industry is ruined.
You used to have 500, 600, 700 people used to go out to work there.
And the government doesn't care.
Minister.
But look what happens when you call it out.
Yeah. Mate, you want to do it on camera?
Guys.
Yeah.
Get out of my face, pal.
Hello, I'm Michael Usher and welcome to Spotlight. We've been led to believe that the electric vehicle industry is a flawless stride toward a sustainable future. But tonight, in a world-exclusive investigation, reporter Liam Bartlett travels to Indonesia to uncover the unsettling truth behind the clean, green dream we've been sold, where nickel, a crucial component in most EV batteries, is being extracted with little regard for the environment or even human life.
Our investigation begins in Bali. We've come to Indonesia as tourists, knowing there's no such thing as official government permission for where we're headed.
I think it's fair to say that when most Australians think of Indonesia, this is the picture that fits. Gorgeous sunset, beautiful landscapes, great vistas, natural, tropical, environmental paradise. Well, that's what the Indonesian government wants you to think anyway. They certainly don't want you to see what we're about to show you, which is less than a two-hour flight in that direction.
But as we discover, our flight to the island of Sulawesi is just the start of a grueling journey that few Western journalists have made. A 10-hour traverse over mountainous interior reveals the full extent of Indonesia's ever-expanding nickel frontier. Open-cut mines swallowing kilometre after kilometre of rainforest. Until finally, we glimpse a massive dark smudge on the horizon. You can smell Morowali Industrial Park before you see it. The largest nickel plant in Indonesia pumps more than 50,000 tons of CO2 into the atmosphere every day, creating its own toxic microclimate. All for those environmentally friendly electric vehicles. We arrive at dusk. Shift change for the workers here. Crammed into trucks and vans and on squadrons of motorbikes. Morowali's more than 90,000 workers are on the move, marching into one of the most dangerous nickel production facilities on Earth. Morowali is guarded at every entrance by heavily armed security forces. They're not only protecting the facilities, they're trying to hide what they're doing here. Because nickel production doesn't have to look like this. Like most Western nations, Australia has strict environmental controls and worker safeguards on how its nickel is produced. And we had a thriving nickel industry before the Indonesian government threw away the rule book and let Chinese industry make what's known as dirty nickel at places like Morowali. We're determined to expose what the dark heart of the electric vehicle industry looks like on the ground.
Well, this is a little bit risky, but we've managed to find a local who is so angry at the way workers are treated here that he's volunteered to try to smuggle us into the heart of the operation. We'll see how we go at security.
He went into the hut.
This is forbidden territory for foreign journalists.
Ethan, what's he doing in there?
He tried to, I think, negotiate with the head of the security.
Hey?
Not a good signal.
What, that he's taking so long?
Yeah.
We begin to wonder if we can trust what our driver has told us.
We need to give him 10 more minutes and that's it.
Coming now.
He's coming now, he's coming now. Has he got it or not?
Okay.
Whatever our friend has told the Chinese guards has worked.
This place is big enough already, but it is expanding at the rate of knots.
No, there's security here. Just go forward. Go forward. Keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. Keep going.
Where your helmet?
Okay. You ready, John? We've got a very small window to tell this story, so here we go. We are at the epicenter of the world's green electric vehicle industry. But as you can see, there's nothing green about this. This so-called industrial park produces more pollution than the entire Australian nickel industry combined. And it's a lot easier to do business here. There are no serious rules and regulations. There are no serious safety protocols. But if you're serious about environmental protection, think about this. This place produces almost 11 times the amount of greenhouse gases to produce the same battery as you would for an equivalent production process in Australia. And that is why they call this dirty nickel. Okay. Okay. Okay, let's go. Yep, let's go.
Our footage on the ground and from the air is chilling proof of how Chinese companies are allowed to flout environmental regulations. They've dumped tens of millions of tons of waste and pollution, wiping out a once thriving fishing industry that used to provide full employment. That's forced locals to work at the industrial park, where they're treated almost as slave labour and condemned to live in the squalid slums surrounding the complex. Remember, all this human misery and environmental devastation is directly caused by the electric vehicle industry.
It's a weird irony that your country is producing the material for these batteries.
Yes.
For electric cars.
Yes.
Which are supposed to be green.
Yes, green. Mm-hmm.
At the risk of great personal cost, Professor Aslan Rifki is choosing to publicly criticise the very Indonesian government he works for. An advisor to the Ministry of Fisheries, he says local people are living with the consequences of having the EV industry set up on their doorstep, while we in the West live with a lie.
There's people in my country who are buying these electric vehicles mm-hmm. who think they are saving the planet. But when I come to your country, it is literally like a living hell there to work and live.
Our government, I believe they understand the situation, but they cannot have initiative. They have no effort to save our country, as you said, because they think just how to get money.
Is that embarrassing for you as an Indonesian?
Of course, embarrassing. That's why I also am very upset. Very upset and very disappointed.
33-year-old Wardana is an engineer at Morowali and a brave voice hoping we can help expose the horrific conditions workers face here.
Does the company worry about your safety?
No, the company not worry about my safety or the worker safety, because the company still production. The company don't care about safety.
Do you know of many accidents?
Yes, I know many accidents in the factory.
This is what Wardana fears. This video shows a worker who's fallen to his death because he wasn't provided a safety harness.
We still find that many workers die, injury, and have a fatal accident. They don't care about the workers.
December 24, 2023. One of Morowali's Chinese-owned nickel smelters explodes catastrophically.
I miss his smile. His smile.
Santi's son, Rifki, was the middle of five boys. But his youngest brother followed him everywhere. He was his hero. At 18, Rifki left the family farm and set off for Morowali, hoping to become a breadwinner for his parents and brothers.
Was your son happy to work there, to make the batteries for electric cars?
Yes, I'm proud of him, because he would take his friends out for meals and he would give me money. He enjoyed spending his money.
So he was a hard worker?
Yeah.
But barely 6 months into the job, Rifki is called for urgent maintenance on a smelter. In this video posted to social media, you see his team uses a flame cutter to slice through the wall of a furnace, unaware there's still molten nickel inside. The two Chinese bosses running this operation speak almost no Indonesian and are totally ill-equipped to deal with the catastrophe that follows. Rifki is one of the 13 workers killed instantly. Another eight die with horrific burns in hospital.
And the first you knew about this terrible workplace accident was when they phoned you, when the company phoned you.
Belum.
Not yet. They were still searching for him. His body was eventually sent to us in an ambulance.
Did the company admit that it was their fault?
Tidak.
But protests before and after this tragedy have been dealt with brutally. At least two workers were killed in the violence. Wardana is among a growing number of workers to join the uprising. But their plea for safety from their government goes unheard.
I never seen the Indonesian government see the factory about the situation, about the safety. I didn't see.
You never see checking?
Anybody checking, yeah.
So the companies running it, the Chinese companies, are left to do whatever they like?
Yes.
Union leader and crane driver Jay Jarlani is documenting the growing number of young men losing their lives so that we can drive electric vehicles.
How many accidents, bad accidents, would you have at the industrial park?
Every day, receive report, 8 to 10 working accident in the IMIP area.
Every single day, 8 to 10?
Yeah.
And some of them fatal?
Yes.
Jay receives videos of deadly accidents every week. Last October, a man burned alive in another smelter incident. 12 hours later, Jay was sent this harrowing video of a Chinese worker dying of dehydration. And the night before we arrived at Morowali, this worker broke his back and is now fighting to receive medical treatment from his Chinese employers.
If you could make the same money in another job somewhere in Indonesia, would you leave it?
Absolutely, I will leave it. I will leave this company because it's very unsafe. Like the environment, like the safety, it's very bad.
Do all your friends and workmates think the same? Are they also worried?
Absolutely worry. All the workers worry about that, about the health, about the accident, all worries.
What is your message to the Indonesian government about this nickel industry?
We demand the companies stop the killing our workers. Our workers are dying for electric cars.
Next, the glossy sales pitch.
It's a monster.
It is a big one.
And the EV brands with links to China's cheap, dirty nickel.
Do you know where the battery metals come from?
I cannot answer half of the questions that you're asking.
And we lift the veil on China's newest nickel project that locals suspect is poisoning them.
Vomiting blood?
At work.
At work.
The showroom floor of Sydney's marquee EV Expo is worlds away from the inconvenient truth of just how many of these vehicles are made.
This is the ultra-luxury people mover, full Nappa leather with massage function.
This is our Deepal S07. You've got 15.6-inch floating center screen that will actually tilt and present itself to you.
You can get up to around 310 kilometers of driving range on this.
Very powerful.
It does 0 to 100 in 4.5 seconds.
4.5
seconds.
4.5 seconds. Sounds impressive. But as you'll see, there's a high likelihood its battery contains cheap, dirty nickel, produced in horrific conditions by Chinese companies in Indonesia.
So this is the GWM Tank 500 Hybrid. It is our 7-seater flagship SUV.
It's a monster.
It is a big one, but it packs a lot of punch, a lot of car for what you're paying for around 66, 490 drive away.
But the actual cost to the environment of EVs like these is a lot trickier to establish on the showroom floor.
Do you know if GWM use nickel in their batteries from Indonesia?
I am not too sure on that, but...
GWM has processing plants in Indonesia, don't they?
Also not sure on that either.
Okay.
Yeah.
As we rush to embrace electric vehicles, encouraged by generous government rebates in the name of Australia's green energy transition,
we're building them to make a difference.
I guess you can't really blame the salesman for not knowing the answer to a question that few bother to ask.
Would there be anything in the paperwork of the vehicles to tell you where the battery metals come from?
I would say so, yeah. I mean, look, I'm head of marketing to begin with, right? And we've started rolling, but
yeah.
Yes, I said, look, I cannot answer half of the questions that you're asking in terms of battery inside.
Australia's second largest EV seller, BYD, claims it no longer uses nickel in their batteries. And what of the other major Chinese EV manufacturers? Well, we reached out to a number, including MG, Great Wall Motors, and Chery. but they remain tight-lipped. Dirty nickel has grown to 70% of the global supply, much of it destined for the EV market. And many of the world's biggest EV makers make no secret about the fact that in order to compete with their Chinese EV rivals, they need to secure cheap, dirty nickel. Names like Tesla, Ford, Hyundai, Volkswagen, and many others. And it comes from places like this. The Weda Bay Industrial Park on remote Halmahera Island. The next stop in our Indonesian investigation. China's EV industry is spending billions here, but little makes it to the people on the ground. You'd never know we were driving into one of the world's largest industrial complexes. There's only a single road in atrocious conditions, where a simple oil spill creates traffic chaos. And when you finally make it to Weda Bay, the disregard for the local population is on an epic scale. In all directions, forests and palm groves are being swallowed. Homes are being forcibly acquired. Once crystal clear shorelines are turning brown. The Indonesian government has even reclassified this toxic waste as non-hazardous, giving companies a free pass to dump nickel slag directly into the villagers' fishing grounds. Six months ago, Jakarta-based researcher Anissa Maharani and her colleague travelled here to investigate an endemic and disturbing trend plaguing the local population, who rely almost exclusively on fish for protein. Anissa discovered the local waterways were polluted with alarmingly high levels of heavy metals, and so were local fish stocks. So it only stood to reason that the local population was too. Of 43 people tested by Anissa, more than half showed dangerously high levels of arsenic and mercury.
So we took your blood last year and we conducted six parameters analysis, of heavy metals of your blood.
Only months ago, Glean Emmanuel was a happy and healthy 23-year-old who, like many young Indonesian men, travelled from afar for a job in his country's nickel rush. Now he is learning the cost of that decision.
And as it turns out, you have a very high level of arsenic in your blood and also a slightly higher level of mercury in your blood. But the one that is very concerning is your arsenic level. It's almost triple of the safe limits.
Glean was initially so excited by his new job at the smelter, he sent these videos to his mum and dad, totally unaware of the deadly fumes he was inhaling.
He's vomiting blood. He passed out many times in the company.
He passed out?
Yeah. He passed out.
At work?
At work.
Glean's condition deteriorated, and the company evacuated him for emergency treatment, flushing his blood to try to remove the heavy metal toxins in his system.
He didn't realize that it was blood flushing up until the last two treatments, yeah, because he was not very conscious around 10 times with blood flushings.
And Glean was not alone. Some of his workmates suffered the same symptoms and treatment.
and the company wanted to keep it secret.
So he said that when he asked the company what happened to him, he only was given information that, oh, something inside of your body was damaged or sick. But then when he asked about the documents about what happened, the company refused to give him.
The company refused to give him the medical records?
Yeah. Yeah.
This used to be a very healthy fishing village, but not anymore. And it's about to get dirtier as this place gets bigger. There are already 5 coal-fired power stations on this little strip of land. And as we back home in Australia tend to wring our hands over the closure of just one, here they're about to build another 7. Imagine what that'll do to the environment. Once all 12 coal plants are up and running, the Weda Bay Industrial Park is on track to spew out more greenhouse gases than the entire nation of Brazil and push millions more tons of toxic waste into already poisoned fishing grounds. Surely there can be no starker example of the real price being paid in the name of the EV revolution. But incredibly, it gets even worse. Next, the fight for survival by an uncontacted tribe.
If you end up with these materials in your cars, you are complicit in the genocide of the Hungana Manyawa.
As Big Nickel destroys their forest homeland so we can drive EVs.
It's impossible for them to survive. It's absolutely horrific what's happening to the uncontacted Hungana Manyawa people.
Let's assume that the EV makers and their potential customers would be horrified to know that the Chinese nickel many are using isn't only ruining livelihoods, health, and the environment in Indonesia, it's also risking potential genocide. These videos show members of Indonesia's last uncontacted tribe, the Hungana Manyawa, in a standoff with mine workers. One tribe member fires an arrow. The worker filming takes cover.
They're coming across these invaders in their forest and they're trying to send them away and they're trying to send as clear a message as possible. Go away, leave our forest alone. And we have to heed that message.
All the major EV makers have been warned that their reliance on dirty nickel is threatening the existence of Indonesia's Hungana Manyawa people. Are the electric vehicle manufacturers completely aware of the devastation that is being done to these people in the name of their batteries?
We tell them, if you end up with these materials in your cars, you are complicit in the genocide of the Hungana Manyawa.
Sophie Grigg is with Survival International, which advocates for the rights of uncontacted people like the Hungana Manyawa, a group of 500 nomadic hunter-gatherers living on Halmahera Island.
In the night, you can hear the blasting, the trucks.
Sophie has travelled deep into their forest homeland where she has discovered rapidly expanding Chinese nickel mines are pushing them closer and closer to civilization and extinction.
All over the forest, you can see these enormous pits.
In this rare video, a tribal elder and 2 of his clan approaching Chinese nickel miners to beg for food and water. A potentially deadly first interaction.
This is all in the name, supposedly, of sustainable development. This is supposed to be the answer with electric vehicles, and look at the devastation it's causing to the forest. And this is the home of the uncontacted Hongana Manyawa.
I just don't think we can underestimate the enormity of what's happening to the Hongana Manyawa people. I mean, these are people that rely on the forest for every single part of their life, from their birth until their death. And not only must it just be utterly traumatic for them, it's also so dangerous. They have no immunity to the diseases that people outside can bring in. And we know it's really not uncommon for the population of uncontacted people to be wiped out as a result of contact.
So how do Australians know that the electric vehicle they buy is not contributing to the destruction of these ethnic minorities?
The more people around the world that are telling the electric car companies, we do not want to be driving around a car that contains nickel that is extracted on the territories of the Hongana Manyawa. Once the car companies realise we can't have this, then the Indonesian government and the mining companies might start listening. We do not want to be complicit in this destruction of these uncontacted people.
Back in Australia, the Hongana Manyawa are less than an afterthought in the buzz around the EV revolution.
It's great to be here and great to share with such great companies in the transformation that we have underway in Australia.
The Energy Minister, Chris Bowen, has chosen a friendly crowd to announce a total of $100 million worth of taxpayer-funded government handouts for businesses buying EVs.
Minister, the batteries in most of these vehicles here today coming out of China are using dirty nickel from Indonesia, funded largely by massive Chinese investment. Are you concerned about that?
Well, the good news is, Liam, that we have 9 out of the 10 critical minerals necessary to make batteries in Australia.
Are we talking to the Chinese about the dirty nickel?
We also have a range of discussions with the Chinese government. Our government has regularised relations with China. It's better to have discussions with China than not have discussions with China, which was the case under the previous government.
So, Minister, you're happy to see the nickel coming in here in these electric vehicles?
I think I've made very clear my preference is Australian nickel.
But it's not happening, Minister, it's not happening.
Well, with respect, Liam, it is happening.
With respect, Minister, it isn't happening. In a word, Australia's once thriving nickel industry is dead in the ground. Up next.
We pretty much have the best nickel in the world, and we're not operating anywhere.
Aussie ghost towns, thanks to dirty nickel.
A big operation like this shut down.
It's more than sad. It's simply not a level playing field.
And the strange outrage of a man calling himself the Electric Viking.
Get out of my face.
Who are you? Which umpire are you?
Are you going to achieve anything?
So this would all be mine over here, would it?
Yeah, as far as the eye can see. So right out to the tree line there, over that hill, and all out this way.
Wow. Yeah. So this is it?
This is it.
If Sam Riggle's nickel mine goes ahead in New South Wales' remote central west, the pit itself will be half the size of New York's Manhattan Island. It's the largest known deposit of nickel, scandium and cobalt in the world. And it's fully approved. A potential source of uncountable wealth for Australia from the global electric vehicle boom.
And in terms of electric vehicles, what are we talking? What sort of resource have you got?
There's about 1 million tonnes of nickel in this resource and about 160,000 tonnes of cobalt. So that's enough to support roughly 500,000 to 1 million electric cars a year for about 50 years of operation.
For 50 years?
For 50 years.
There's just one tragic catch.
Right now, Sam has little to no chance of securing the funds he needs to dig it up. And this is the reason. As we've exposed tonight, cheap Chinese dirty nickel mined in Indonesia and flooding the global market.
I've heard some in the mining industry call it crappy nickel. That'd be fair.
Yeah, dirty nickel, class two nickel. And we associate that with the fact that it just comes not just with high emissions, but the way it's mined, you have to strip a lot of tropical forest to get access to these ore bodies. Rehabilitation doesn't happen particularly well. Most of the processing happens on coastal areas next to fisheries. Communities are impacted and there's huge waste impacts.
Despite its terrible environmental impact, EV makers can't get enough dirty nickel, rendering our own clean green nickel worthless.
You know, we cannot build the Chinese standards in Australia. Our operating regulations don't allow us to do that.
Well, nor would we want to.
No, you don't want to. And that's why you have to sell the fact that countries like Australia have a terrific operating environment because we do things properly. So you don't have an industry like what you're seeing in Indonesia built.
Do you think some people who own and drive an electric vehicle should feel perhaps a little less virtuous, knowing where this stuff is coming from?
Well, I think first do your homework to understand where it's come from, but don't believe necessarily that you are solving the world's emissions problems by buying an electric car unless you can verify how the raw materials are produced.
Ed Ainscough's company, Lunnon Metals, is a case in point. Its nickel in this open-cut mine in WA is now lying idle, all for trying to produce green nickel and keep the environmental promise of electric vehicles. It makes it doubly sad, though, doesn't it, to see a big operation like this shut down when they've spent a fortune trying to be green?
Absolutely. It's more than sad. I think it's a strong pause for reflection as to the standards we try and achieve in Australia for the good of the environment and the good of our people and the communities we work in. If other countries aren't reflecting the same standards, well, it's simply not a level playing field.
While Ed has some significant gold operations to help his company stay afloat, most of his workforce has joined the 7,000 Australian nickel workers who've lost their jobs as Australia's biggest nickel mines shut down across the country.
But it's a massive mine, isn't it?
Oh, it certainly, certainly is. I mean, you know, each day you used to have 500, 600, 700 people used to go out to work there, you know, so wow. To the numbers we've got now, you know, there's probably only sort of 80 people going out there at the moment.
It was only 5 years ago that BHP saw nickel deposits like Leinster Mine in WA as the centre of the EV revolution, pouring $4.7 billion into bringing old mines like Leinster back to full capacity. So determined to produce green nickel, BHP even built this 22,000-panel solar farm to power the mine. Leinster's mayor, Peter Craig, has been a local for 30 years.
Morning, Rita. How are you?
Good, and yourself?
Well, thank you.
Good.
He's seen boom and bust, but never a bust like this. Here in Leinster, almost the entire population of about 1,400 work in nickel mining. It's the very definition of a mining town. But now, more than one in every two families have had to pack up and leave. And the FIFO workers, well, they've been handed a pink slip. The only people flying in these days are the skeleton crews to make sure the local mines don't fall into disrepair. Thanks to all that dirty nickel from our northern neighbour, well, if this place is not a ghost town, it's not far from it.
It was a shock to a lot of people. And I think today people are still trying to understand it. To get to a point where we're at now, that, you know, we pretty much have the best nickel in the world and we're not operating anywhere.
Make a lot of sense.
Doesn't make sense. How do we get to that point?
The Indonesian-Chinese strategy of producing and dumping dirty nickel on the world market
is even more perplexing because of a memorandum of understanding that our government signed with Indonesia in 2023. Minister for Industry, Ed Husic, celebrated the deal, designed to help each other's nickel industries. But it seems to have gone nowhere. Minister Husic now refuses an interview. But Energy Minister Chris Bowen offered his own explanation at an EV expo.
We have this memorandum of understanding. Your government signed it just over 12 months ago with Indonesia for what you called mutually beneficial cooperation on the supply of these EV minerals, including nickel. I mean, I don't see too much mutual benefit. Well, I don't see any cooperation.
Well, obviously, there's nothing wrong with mutually beneficial cooperation if you can achieve it. Now, there's a new government in Indonesia. We will work with them as best we can to ensure that any developments here are in our mutual best interest.
But Minister, what does the memorandum of understanding mean?
Well, there's a range of memorandums of understanding with different countries, which all apply in different ways. If it's not in Australia's best interest at any particular time, then nothing would happen under the MOU.
It's not much of an answer, given the crisis facing our homegrown nickel industry, thanks to Indonesia and China, and the spin around EVs driving our green future. But the minister wasn't taking any more questions.
This show you've just opened, Minister. Minister, the show you've just opened is full of Chinese vehicles.
I'm very, very good guy.
Minister, can we sit down another time
then? If you ask, I'll consider it.
Well, I'm asking now.
And with that, the minister left, assisted in his exit and the avoidance of our cameras by this man, whose authority to interfere, I thought, was also worth a question.
Hey, mate, I don't appreciate that.
Hey?
I don't appreciate that. I'm talking to a minister of the crown.
Hey, mate.
Who is this guy?
Do you think you're going to get anywhere by doing
that?
Who
is this guy?
I want to just help and just separate and just
Who is he? To step between the media and a minister of the crown.
Hello, my friends. Welcome to the channel. I'm Sam Evans.
Sam Evans also calls himself the Electric Viking, a self-styled EV zealot who backs the Chinese industry.
Automakers and governments are clearly very afraid of Chinese EVs. I've just been in China. The cars there are far superior.
And clearly, the Electric Viking has a major issue with anyone who doubts his version of the green dream.
Because I let everybody else talk.
Come on,
get out of my face, pal.
You got in my face.
Get out of my face.
Sam. You got in my face.
Yeah. Mate, you want to do it on camera?
Guys.
You want to do it on camera? You really want to do this?
The Electric Viking finally went the way of the minister. And for the record, Chris Bowen has since refused all requests for a formal interview with us. Next, death, destruction, and an Aussie industry's economic ruin.
It is deeply ironic that someone who goes and buys an electric vehicle may be inadvertently contributing to trashing of the environment and abusing of human rights.
Environmental destruction, human devastation, and Australia's multi-billion dollar nickel industry in ruins. You'd think it would be something one of the three government ministers responsible would want to talk about, but no. Chris Bowen, Madeleine King, and Ed Husic all refused to be interviewed. So we turn to the shadow Home Affairs Minister, Senator James Patterson, for some answers.
Senator, Indonesia's dumping of all this dirty nickel with the financial support of the Chinese, doesn't it make a mockery of this memorandum of understanding that it's signed with our federal government?
Well, the Chinese people have a government which ruthlessly stands up for their interests. We need an Australian government that ruthlessly stands up for ours. when you have the Chinese government strategically dominating key sectors like nickel with extensive subsidies and other support, they are putting enormous pressure on other industries all around the world, including in Australia and including in the nickel industry.
But all these ministers have gone missing, Senator. Why all the silence and secrecy?
Well, Ed Husic, Madeleine King and Chris Bowen running from scrutiny from your program speaks to their cowardice and their failure to stand up for their industries and our country. It is their job to protect Australian jobs, and they've failed to do that. And they should explain why it is that they think it's appropriate in their highly paid jobs that they can't front up and answer basic questions about this serious issue which threatens 7,000 Australian jobs in the nickel industry.
What do you think about the safety regulations or the complete lack thereof? What do you think about the environmental pollution? It's pretty hard seeing those pictures to be virtuous about driving an electric vehicle, isn't it?
It is deeply ironic that someone who goes and buys an electric vehicle may be inadvertently contributing to trashing of the environment and abusing of human rights. I think most EV buyers in Australia would have no idea that they're contributing to that with their purchase. And they have a right to know what is happening, as your program will show them. And they should be concerned about that. And all Australians should be concerned about it. The whole point of buying an EV is to help the environment. But if you're damaging the environment in the process, it's a pretty self-defeating exercise.
We spent months investigating the links between EV manufacturers and dirty nickel and reached out to all the major EV makers mentioned in tonight's story for a response. Some were forthcoming, many were not. You can read their full statements on our website. The link is on your screen. Thanks so much for your company here on Spotlight. Good night.